Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Coming up, the latest crop report says farmers made some good seeding progress this past week. The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Raymore, Yorkton, and Watrous, New Holland, working hard to keep more jingle in your jeans. And brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry Shepherd at 352-1866. The 620 CKRM farm weather forecast for today, mainly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, and a high of 12 degrees, the low near plus 2. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 14, the low plus 2. Saturday, partly cloudy, the high 12, the low 2. Sunday, sunny skies, the high near 14, the low 3. Monday, sunny, the high near 17, the low 5. Tuesday, partly cloudy, the high near 17. Normal high for this date, 19, the normal low around 4. The sun rose at 5:10 this morning. It sets at 8:39 tonight. And around the province, we have the hot spot, Kindersley, 15. The cold spot, Collins Bay at 5. In Estevan, it's 11. Saskatoon, 12. Swift Current, 11. Weyburn, 10. Yorkton is 9. Cloudy in Regina, 10 degrees. That's 50 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the east-northeast, 16, gusting to 27. Humidity is 28%, the barometer dropping 102.1. Partly cloudy in Moose Jaw, 11. Winds are from the east at 15, gusting to 28. Once again, Regina cloudy in 10, that's 50 Fahrenheit. Winds east-northeast, 16, gusting to 27. Back in a moment. Agri News is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers Ag Division. Forget the rest, sell with the best. Online at McDougallAuction.com. And Sask Municipal Hail Insurance, 102 years, 9,567 storms, $44 billion insured. We've seen it all, Saskatchewan. You're always covered with smhi.ca. Saskatchewan farmers made significant seeding progress during the past week. Saskatchewan agriculture crop analyst Corey Jacobs says almost 40% of the crop has been planted.
Saskatchewan farmers made very good seeding progress last week. We're up to 38% of the crop in the ground, which is ahead of the five-year average of 31% for this time of the year. And yes, we're off to a very good start to seeding and making very good progress.
How is germination?
There are reports of crops being slow to emerge and germinate just due to the cool conditions that we've experienced in the past week here.
What kind of seeding progress? What by region?
So the southeast region is the most advanced with 53% of the crop in the ground. 52% is seeded in the southwest, while 31% of the crop is seeded in the east central region, 32% in the west central region, 22% in the northeast, and 28% in the northwest.
Was there any rainfall this past week?
There was rainfall across the province, definitely smaller amounts. The Nipawin area received the greatest amount with 21 millimeters of rain. You know, even though there was some rain received, there are a fair bit of parts of the province that would definitely welcome rainfall.
Yeah, how is soil moisture?
So across the province, provincially, crop land topsoil moisture is rated as 1% surplus, 52% adequate, 40% short, and 7% very short.
Where is the driest? Where is the worst hit area?
It's particularly in the west central part of the region. They are kind of, they've been missing rain showers and also with dealing with extremely dry conditions last year. They definitely could use some rainfall.
So they really need a good moisture, a good dump of rain quickly.
Yes, I believe they should have enough for crop germination. That might be debatable with shallower seeded crops like canola, but they have indicated that they would welcome rain very much so.
How are pastures?
So top soil moisture in pasture and hayland is rated as 46% adequate, 40% short, and 14% very short. And the hay and pasture land growth has been very slow due to the lack of rainfall, and then the cooler conditions as well have kept them slowly growing.
Is there much concern about wildfires?
We haven't heard reports of wildfires, but we have heard reports that there are fire bans in RMs. And we're hoping we're not going to hear reports about wildfires, but it's it's one thing with the dry conditions that should be on the backs of people's minds. Other than that, we are hearing, you know, reports of winter wheat assessments continuing, and producers are very busy getting the crop in and hopefully have a good few weeks ahead of good seeding weather.
But they'd welcome moisture.
They would welcome a few days break with moisture, absolutely, yes.
Corey Jacob compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. A farm couple from Balgonie, east of Regina, were the third and final winners in the Spring 620 CKRM Country Cookout yesterday. Sharon and Reg Selzer and a large group of family and friends enjoyed a catered meal from Peg's Kitchen. Sharon Selzer says seeding is moving ahead despite dry soil moisture.
Well, it's been going, I guess, pretty steady. We haven't had any rain that has slowed us down at all, or I guess it slowed us down a little bit, but hasn't really stopped it.
Tell me about seeding progress. How far along are you? How many acres left to go, and how many have you put in?
Well, my husband and I were trying to figure that out yesterday, and I guess the fields that we have of our own, we're about 3/4 done, and then we have some joint stuff that we need to get done yet. So we're over half done, for sure.
Now tell me about the soil moisture. What's it like right now?
Well, it's pretty dry. We've had a couple little rains, but it mostly just wets the surface, and so we could really use a good rain.
We really need rain. It's that dry out here.
It is, yeah. It's very dry. The soil is getting quite hard and packed and dusty. It's dry.
You need more moisture for germination and for crops to develop.
There's a little bit of moisture if you go down deep enough, but it could sure use a good rain.
Tell me, Sharon, what were the main crops you put in this year?
Well, we've got some canola, some wheat, some spring wheat. We've got some canary seed and some flax, and I feel like I'm forgetting some peas. And so that's usually what we put in.
Did you make any changes because of market conditions?
Well, we had pretty much committed, you know, to what we were going to seed. So the market conditions really haven't changed our plans. We debated changing because of the moisture, but we have pretty much stuck to our original plans.
Stuck to your main rotation.
Yeah, and we do try to rotate and have a bit of a variety.
Sharon and Reg Selzer of Balgonie are the third and final winners in the Spring 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. A group called Suits and Boots is calling on Canadians to stand up to China. It's been 3 months since China stopped buying Canadian canola in a dispute caused by rising political tensions between the two countries. The detention of a senior Chinese telecommunications official in Vancouver 5 months ago at the request of the U.S. is the widely believed to be the reason. Canola prices have fallen, and it will be very difficult to find alternative demand for the oilseed that was destined for China. Suits and Boots was established last fall by people in the resource and agriculture sectors to fight Bill C-69 in the Senate, which would limit pipeline development. That was done through an extensive writing and phone campaign to senators and MPs. Yesterday, Suits and Boots launched a new campaign called Stand Up to China. The group's founder, Rick Peterson, explains the campaign.
We said, listen, it's time that somebody stood up on behalf of the canola farmers and sent a message to China in the same way that our messages got through to the Senate and we thought were instrumental in creating some awareness of it. We started yesterday portraying the fact that, you know what, we have to stand up to China, let them know that we're not going to sit back and let them do this, and thus our campaign. So we started yesterday with the names of the ambassador to China in Canada, as well as the four consuls general who are in Vancouver and Calgary, Toronto, and Montreal. Their emails are on our website, and we're encouraging people to send emails. And we have a suggested text, but you can say whatever you want. But you cannot include, or you should not wrap up canola farmers in whatever trade or diplomatic dispute that Canada and China and the U.S. have. So keep canola farmers out of it. And we're standing up and trying to get that message through to the Chinese government.
Peterson says Ottawa's response has been limited.
We have the luxury, Neil, of being able to be a little more vocal than the government does, no matter what government is in place. I think they have to play that quiet game a little bit to see how it goes. But dealing with China, I don't know, you know, it's been 30 years since Tiananmen Square, but in the last 30 years, I don't think anybody has dealt with China successfully by being meek and not showing strength. So what we're doing here is standing up and saying the canola farmers and those who support them will not put up with this, and our message will grow increasingly loud and wide in the weeks and months ahead.
Peterson says it may allow farmers to blow off some steam.
We want to be diplomatic, but we want to be forceful, and we want to make sure that the message gets through to these consulates saying that, you know what, we're not just going to be able to implement these things without getting strong pushback. And China, like every other country, maybe China a little bit less, but the concern about their image, the concern about who they are is important. We're playing hardball here, you know, with a country that plays hardball in everything they do, right? Every single thing they do in terms of foreign relations or dealing with Canada, and you saw this morning the two Canadians formally arrested this morning. China doesn't mess around. They call it like they see it, and I think it's important that we in Canada stand up as canola farmers and supporters of the canola growers to saying, you got to stop that. So if a farmer or anybody wants to send an email out, just make it polite, but make it firm, make it strong, and just say, keep your hands off our canola, stay away from our farmers, don't trample on our farming communities, and don't trample on the livelihoods of probably 43,000 canola growers and about 250,000 Canadians who depend on this industry. Stay off us, and that's our message.
Peterson has a powerful graphic for the Chinese.
A couple of weeks from now, it's the 30th anniversary of Tiananmen Square, and I'm of the age where I remember that. That was 30 years ago, but that was basically China sent tanks into a main square where there had been a growing student demonstration against the Chinese rulers, and these tanks obviously squelched and killed a lot of people. But the interesting graphic out of that one is an iconic picture of a single man in a white shirt holding two shopping bags standing alone in front of that tank column, four tanks coming at him. And we're just simply saying, listen, it takes courage to stand up to China. This iconic man who's called Tank Man, nobody knows who he is or what happened to him. It takes courage to stand up to China, and that's what we're doing here. It takes courage to stand up to China and say to them, no, we will stand in your way. We don't want this to happen, and we want you to know that we strongly object to this. So that's the graphic that we have, is some tanks moving onto a canola field and with a farm family standing there, standing up to China. So it's a very powerful graphic. We're getting a tremendous amount of support. And if your listeners want to help, they can sign up at suitsandboots.ca, send some emails to the Chinese officials. And every week for the next several weeks and months, we're going to be giving you new things to say.
Rick Peterson is a founder with the group called Suits and Boots. Efforts aimed at developing vaccines to protect pigs from African swine fever are generating cautious optimism. African swine fever has spread into China and parts of Eastern Europe, but has not yet reached North America. Vito Intervac in Saskatoon, along with the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, are testing several candidate vaccines at the CFIA facility in Winnipeg. Dr. Volker Gerst is the director of Vito Intervac.
We are using what is called a viral vector. So we're making a vaccine that is based on a harmless virus. In this case, we're using an adenovirus, and then we are manipulating the virus and we're inserting genes from the African swine fever into this adenovirus and then use that for vaccination. That's one of the promising approaches that is being used to control this disease.
Dr. Gertz says African swine fever is a large virus with a lot of tools it can use to evade the pig's immune system. That's why developing a vaccine has been a challenge.
Over the years, made over 30 different vaccine candidates, and these are being tested now as we speak, in fact, in pigs. So we generated these vaccine candidates, and now they were injected into pigs, and so soon these pigs will be exposed to the disease, and then we will see whether they're protected against the disease or not.
Dr. Gertz notes scientists in other parts of the world are also working on African swine fever vaccines with a number of potential candidates. Market Update is brought to you by Scott Bjornson of Hollis Wealth. For more information or to book a free consultation, call 1-800-284-9999. Grain prices were showing upward movement in early trading today. Viterra prices for canola rose 220 at $388.82. Oats gained 421 at 212.56. Number one red spring wheat increased 392 at 227.12. The rest were unchanged. Durham, 239.51. Feed barley, 172.63. Flax, 512.21. Yellow peas, $237.54. Feed wheat, 196.98. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange this morning, spring wheat rose 10 cents at 525 and a quarter cent a bushel. The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Assiniboia and Weyburn Livestock Auctions. Call Assiniboia 642-4180 or Weyburn 842-4574.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of May 14th. It was Assiniboia's turn for a regular sale last week. Heiferettes sold from $1.10 to $1.30. D1 and D2 cows sold from 89 cents to $1. D3 cows sold from 75 cents to 85 cents. Counter cows sold from 40 cents to 60 cents. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.05 to $1.20. There weren't enough yearlings or calves in any one weight break to establish an accurate price quotation. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets the cattle and the prices too.
Now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, the SIG 5 TCP BP4 price is $201.05 per CKG, and the BP4 TCP4 price is $197.86 per 100 kilograms. The outlook today, mainly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, clearing, and risk of a thunderstorm. We're also looking at tomorrow, mainly sunny skies, increasing cloudiness, wind east 30, the high 14, the low plus 2. The low tonight, forecast to be plus 2. In Regina, cloudy and 10, that's 50 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the east-northeast, 16, gusting to 27. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon and good farming.